Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Is there a people group causing your country concern? Then do like they're trying to do in Myanmar or ancient Burma. Erase them. That's what human rights advocates are saying that the military in that country is attempting to do. Their target, the Muslim minority called the Rohingya. Their existence is fake news, we're being told. Here to bring us up to date on this ongoing tragedy is Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what is going on?
Well, it's been called genocide.
Yes.
And genocide, of course, has characterized the last 100 years nearly in the Western world, most infamously with the Nazis trying to wipe out the Jews and killing at least 6 million of them.
Right.
But we've seen others since, and of course, the situation in the Balkans, there was an attempt at genocide there. But all of the signs show us that something sinister and massively murderous is happening in Myanmar, which I, in my own mind, still call Burma.
Yes, yes.
It's a country, as far as the drug trade, I think it's in the Golden Triangle, where all the drugs come and go.
Yep.
There's a lawless element of Myanmar that people have forgotten about. The Karen tribesmen, who are nominally Christians, although there's a lot of satanic shamanism that's mixed in with it, they have their own army, that, and they're fighting both Thailand and Myanmar. So there's troubles on the border. But Myanmar itself, which has been a military dictatorship for, I think, about 40 years, repressive toward all of its citizens,
yes.
You know, we think, and the world's media has said that it's come out of the dark, if you like, and Aung San Suu Kyi, the charismatic woman who whose father let out, and she was expected to be the leader and spent many years under house arrest, is now nominally the head of state. She's in a sort of a power-sharing arrangement with the military, but she's the head of state. And now this liberalizing woman that we thought would be the breath of fresh air for the country, Nobel Peace Prize winner and so on, as this genocide erupts in her country, is strangely silent. The few comments she's made, she says they're basically trouble, and that they've brought this somewhat on themselves. Amazingly, for those that read the news reports carefully, she suggested that in that area of the country where the Rohingya have settled and are being harassed, there's an ethnic Buddhist group that are a minority in the country. She says those are the ones who are marginalized. They're called the Rakhine. She says they're the most marginalized minority in Myanmar.
Oh boy.
So there's an air of unreality about what's happening there. I went and tried to get information and looked on a BBC posting, and usually the BBC knows what's going on, but they're not even allowed. There's a news blackout, a restriction of foreign media going in there. So a lot of it's from hearsay, from refugees who are spilling across the borders into neighboring Bangladesh, where it appears that generations ago most of them came from. Like 100,000 have fled recently out of at least 1 million living in Myanmar, where they've lived for many, many generations, claiming that they're descended from Arab traders and others. But the complicating factor here is that they are uniformly Muslim. The larger population in Myanmar is Buddhist. And so there's religion and ethnicity at play, and the mix is toxic. Murderous.
You know, it's interesting that you bring this up, and you've talked about it before on this program. We're not talking about Christians fighting Protestants here or Catholics. You're talking about one religious group fighting another religious group, and they don't have to be Christian. That was kind of a new thing for me to wrap my mind around, that religious freedom is for all religions. Am I on the right track here?
Right, absolutely. And you put your finger on why I wanted to discuss this.
Yes.
On this program. It's more than just Christians being set upon by other people. And, of course, to be honest, at certain time periods, Christians are set upon others.
Sure, absolutely.
but this has nothing to do with Christianity.
Yeah.
And superficially, it has a lot to do with the other in an ethnic as well as a national sense. But religion is what really makes it spiral out of control, I believe. And the amazing thing here is that Buddhism, while I'm not personally attracted by it, you know, I mean, enough to, I'm not going to become a Buddhist. No. You know, there's some philosophical niceties about Buddhism. It's a very placid religion, generally, people think. Very philosophical, very fatalistic, and so on. And to see a Buddhist society using its military become murderous against another is quite amazing.
It's very strange.
You know, in the Vietnam War, I can remember the Buddhist monks objecting to the war in Vietnam. Well, their method of objection was to burn themselves publicly.
Yeah.
Well, this is a whole different thing. They're burning the Rohingyas. Whole villages are being burned, and as people flee, they're being killed wholesale. There's just too much anecdotal evidence from the survivors of exactly what happened. I've listened to them on the radio, survivors weeping and crying and telling about how family members, all but them, say, and their family, gunned down as they came out of the homes. And you know, these were people that even before the violence had no citizenship rights, denied education by the country they're living in, you know, marginalized to the extreme. And a little bit like Hitler and the Jewish situation, which he created as his party came to power, while the hatred is ongoing, what has sparked it is a few Rohingyas had organized a resistance movement and perpetrated some violence upon some soldiers somewhere. Well, that singular, very small-scale action, the revenge has been visited upon the whole community.
I mean, we have to just grow up and know that this just didn't spark overnight. This has been simmering and growing probably for generations. Would I be right in saying
yes,
that?
Yes, and I've had a number of articles in Liberty over many years.
Yes.
You know, I soon found out about it. But it is accelerating. It's not a constantly bad story. It's gotten worse, even as Myanmar, remember, Myanmar is trying to rejoin the community of nations. President Obama went there, paid a state visit to the country in recognition of Aung San Suu Kyi's personal role. Only a few days ago, the Pope of Rome went there.
Right.
And I could decry his grandstanding and thinking he's trying to create a universal church with him at the head. But as an act of charity, it's not all bad. And he was trying to draw some attention to it. And yet he didn't show a lot of moxie there because he declined to use the word Rohingya even while he was there, which is an offense within the country.
Yeah.
Not till he got to Bangladesh where he met with the head of state, who very purposefully said the Pope didn't use the term in Myanmar. So I think the Pope's trying to have his cake and eat it too. He's trying to get the political benefit and appear to be very caring, but he did something, but he could have done more. He showed that to at least some degree he was cowed by the prejudice in the country. And of course, in Myanmar, Roman Catholics are a distinct minority. I mean, a very small sliver. I visited there years ago, and with the General Conference Religious Liberty Director, we met with all of the major religious groups in a single unprecedented meeting for half a day. Roman Catholics were not represented there, and we were told they were not major players. So here, with his visit, the Pope is changing that, and I just wish that he'd been more forthright.
When you look at Myanmar and that simmering under the surface discontent that people are having, do you see any kind of parallels in this country that is happening? Because it just seems like we have these pots boiling over all over this country, especially with the present administration in power.
Yes. I think most of the problems are us and them type things, and as very often, income inequality and things can easily give opportunity for some of this deep prejudice to take a violent turn. I really think that's what's happening with the president and his apparent blind spot, if you like, for Aryan nation type activity, which is hardly mainstream, but it can bubble over into mainstream discontent if it's not managed responsibly.
I just keep seeing what you say often on this program, one group of people not allowing another group of people to have even the basic freedom to express themselves religiously. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It does function differently in different countries, depending on the role of religion. But as I've said, ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union and the isms, communism and even capitalism is not well regarded. certainly by the Pope in his document, true. And even many other countries. We're seeing religious identity rear its head. It's always been there, but in many ways it's the prime identifier. I think it's somewhat taken a second seat to ethnic identity, because very often, as we've seen in Nigeria and elsewhere, you can have religion cutting across ethnic lines, and yet you still have a civil war.
Can we safely legislate ourselves out of this mess here in this country?
Man, you're hitting the hot buttons with me. You must know how I think. Good legislation is always needed, but you can't change bad behavior and bad social attitudes in the twinkling of an eye by legislating something.
True.
I think there's a need to change public attitudes.
And how do we do that? I mean, you and I are on this radio program, and we're trying to do that. What else can we do?
Education. And as the Christian right sometimes say, but sometimes forget when they talk about state aid and other things, education should start in the home, not just for religion, for public decency and all the other norms of society. It starts in the home. If they're not learning it there, then they've got a disadvantage to start with.
Lincoln, they're not learning it there.
No. So I think that's the largest reason for a meltdown in the U.S. And then in the local community, through all sorts of community activities and interchange, it needs to be reinforced. And through our media and other public organs, and on Hollywood, it's a favorite whipping boy, I know, but it is guilty. Hollywood is breaking down all these values. Every time I'm staying in a hotel and flash through the hundreds, if not thousands, of channels, I'm amazed. You can go through a dozen channels in a row and you see nothing but someone with a gun in their hand shooting.
Right. That's right. That's right.
The aura of violence and lawlessness and disrespect that the media generally are putting out has got to be corrupting to young people who don't have as stable a home environment as they used to. So we are in societal meltdown. And as always, when that happens, apart from gross immorality, as the Bible says, or in the Messiah it's quoted, or gross darkness, but as always, religious flashpoints will result not just in a little acrimony, they'll result in fires of persecution and harassment.
Well, you've identified the fact that we in this country, and I would assume that other countries are in the same boat, we are playing with fire, and it can bring about actual fire when we don't guard ourselves and guard our hearts and guard our children from this thing. So that's an important lesson we need to learn on this program today.
So I just want to tell our listeners, keep an eye on the Rohingya in this developing situation in Myanmar. It's not over yet. The Dalai Lama and the Pope joined together. The Muslim leaders of Bangladesh. It appears to be the religions drawing together, but underneath it, I think, is raw religious murder.
LibertyMagazine.org is the website. Stop by. We invite you to do so. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.